Log Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, immaculate. Now listen to this. Set the stage here, you know, because the show is organic, as you know, and free-flowing, and, you know, it gets out to split ends, too, when given a chance. But when you're booking guests for a show like this one, and we're talking about, you know, some controversial things, I guess, in one sense, but, you know, every week we come on to try to get you kind of an edge. We're the culture vulture here. So, some cashews loaded with vitamin salt. Anyway, oh, there it is. Got my sweet tea. I think the Mets just did something. Yep, looks like a home run. I'm going to check into this. Well, Soma casting live from Denver. The New York Metropolitans are winning. Okay, back to what I was saying. So you look around for people that are going to be part of the Safe Bind segment of the show at 9:30. Who are we going to get to talk about this topic? And, you know, there were several people I had in mind, and I went 0 for 3. And I tried very hard. And so, you know, we'll touch on what these guys were going to be talking about at 9:30. But right now, look at this. Every time I try to silence the lambs. You know, but for right now, I'm going to try and get you guys involved here. So hopefully, if you have an opinion about all the things, this is another home run. Look at this. No, warning track power. All the things that are going on in the news that involve the controversies around our friends at the Tea Party, the political stuff. Because tomorrow's tax day, and I'm really curious at how a lot of the ideas that have come out of the political just call it the envelope, in the last year and a half or so, have really sustained themselves. Because if you just take Obama, who started off with a approval rating in the 70s, it's now down, depending on what you read, it's down around the 50s or so, right around the 50s, and you just realize how much polarity has gone on around this man, where at any given day he might be espousing, plus or minus five ideologies. He's liberal, he's socialist, he's communist, he's a Kenyan, there's a zillion things this guy gets labeled with before he even, gets out of bed, practically. And I just find it fascinating that all these ideas, and we call them memes, are able to kind of sustain themselves. How do they get into people's heads? And it's like a telephone game. How do they keep traveling? How do they get that snowball effect where they become viral and they become popular, and people show up for rallies like Sarah Palin, our buddy. Let's see. As Shannon Bukele says goodbye on Facebook. Anyway, another star in the making. And Sarah Palin was up in Boston today. I got to play this for you because it's classic Sarah Palin. She makes no discernible point, no solution, points to the problem. Everybody loves it. So here's Sarah Palin today on Tax Day Eve at the Boston Tea Party.
It's the day before Tax Day, the day that the tax man cometh on top of tax cuts expiring in the town that the Sons of Liberty call home. We'll keep clinging to our Constitution and our guns and religion, and you can keep the change. To borrow their catchphrase, their warning bell, they had said, well, yes, we can. We need to tell them that just because you can does not mean you should. What we have here is a difference in worldview, a difference of opinion. And I guess that's okay, because that's nothing that a good old-fashioned election can't fix. And we can't wait, because in just 1 year we have seen this fundamental transformation. We have witnessed aggressive, progressive steps towards national insolvency and an Obama doctrine that is alienating our allies. These fundamental changes with health care and insurance, the nation's entire financial sector, student loans and the auto industry, even Congress's congressional duties and responsibilities in our republic, these have been radical changes. John Voight said the other day that, no, we have got to be united, folks, to take this back, because what's next in Washington? Picking and choosing more winners and losers in energy, maybe in media? We can't afford this because, see, all these things help build up cornerstones in our economy and in our democracy. And these are the things that so many of these aspects of the private sector can certainly be run better if government would just get out of the way.
Well, there's your classic Sarah Palin, minute and a half. Absolutely says nothing. Says nothing of substance, and yet the people love her. And now she, of course, has taken the Tea Party and put them on the back of the Sarah Palin bus, and they've been, it's a love-hate relationship. She'll talk at their rallies, but she doesn't claim that she's part of them. She tells them to choose a party. She's very much a Republican, very much a conservative, but it's just funny how she's able to not really align herself with them, but yet be their champion. Their champion. Now, I don't know if you guys saw it over the weekend, but of course Tina Fey was at it again over the weekend. It was classic, because she was there to promote her movie, which I saw, which is pretty good. The date night. So let's just see if we can find that quick. Just to compare and contrast, both popular people. Both, very much sustainable in the public. Now, is this it? This is a year ago. I want this one from a couple days ago. Joe Biden. There's so many of them here. It's amazing. So, let's see. Here's Tina Fey talks Justin Bieber. I don't know. We'll see if this one leads me. See if I can find it. It just kind of points out the contrast. That's all I'm trying to do.
Let the countdown begin, people. We are just
dating. That didn't get me anywhere. What is that? What is that? tell you what, while I'm scooting around here, I will hit another story. Rumor, oh, first of all, Lady Gaga. Did anyone catch this? I just saw this before I got on the air. Lady Gaga, strange message to her fans. This woman she's just an inch above Amy Winehouse. Touchdown in Japan on Tuesday, toting a white Hermes Birkin bag, cost about $5,000, carried a special message for fans written in Japanese that said, "I love small monster, Tokyo love." And she has, "I love little monster" on her arm. And I don't even know what that's about. Anyway. Again, she's popular. She's unintelligible. But, you know, why complain? So let's see if I can get a Saturday Night Live skit up here. So much going on. Conan's going on the TBS. And, you know, Coco. Coco's going to TBS. It's really kind of becoming like, I'm getting whiplash from all these changes. Mets still leading 1-0 here in the second inning. See, I'm trying to get the Sarah Palin skit here from the other day. It's not booting up. Anyway, rumor from Huffington Post that Tiger's going to get hit with the old divorce papers, the papels. Elon's cooking up a nook here. Stop by yelling! There we go. All right. Oh, this is great. Let's see. Is this it? Yeah. Now, this is from Saturday Night Live a couple days ago. Tina Fey just, to me, you know, it's so real when it's happening, it's hard to separate the two, but you just heard Saturday Night Live, and it's still echoing around in my temporal lobe, like, what? How was that popular? And the government's going to get out of the way. No, it isn't. Let's see. All right. Again, the number to call in to interrupt my diatribe here is 646-478-4847, 646-478-4847. You got an opinion about the Tea Party, any one of these crowds that are forming out there, any one of these movements that you're involved in. I want to know why you joined. I want to know why it's popular. I want to know what makes you want to be part of that group, because I'm fascinated with this. I can't start a fire in here. All right, let's see. Can we get any sound on this thing? Here we go. Sarah Palin Network.
It's me. You know, ever since I won the silver medal in last year's vice presidential election, I've made it my goal to connect with as many people of this great nation as possible. Regular folks from the hockey moms to the protesters dressed like Paul Revere who are so overweight they picket from folding chairs. You know, with my work as a contributor on Fox News and my new TLC reality show, Sarah Palin's Alaska, it just seemed like the next logical step was to launch my own network. You'll find we aim for the heartland with Sarah Palin Network original movies like My Daughter Only Sprained Her Ankle. You can't seriously be considering euthanizing her.
That's my little angel.
I have some bad news. The Obamacare death panel just issued a ruling. I'm afraid the cost of setting your daughter's ankle is considered prohibitive. We're going to have to put her down.
Really?
No! Ooh, that one's got a hidden message. But not all our programming is fear-based. If you like fun, you're just going to love our afternoon block of game shows. At 2 p.m., it's Tea Party Wheel of Fortune. And at 2:30, catch me in Are You Smarter Than a Half-Term Governor? I think you'll be surprised by the answer. I know I was. And at 4, don't miss Elite. The show that takes C-SPAN footage of a bunch of smarty-pants professors talking about who knows what and redubs it with the teacher's voice from Charlie Brown. Do you hate gotcha journalism? Well, get ready for Hey Journalist, I Gotcha, where I re-edit my interviews with journalists to make them look like they were the ones that were woefully unprepared. So, Katie, what newspapers do you read?
That's an easy question, Katie. Well, better luck next time. Gotcha.
All right, there you go. That's enough for Sarah. Holy mackerel. And our good friend Glenn Beck is again, the leader of the Tea Party movement, Mr. Faith, Hope, and Charity himself. Can't get enough of the Glenn Beckster. He is on the cover of Forbes magazine. I got to get that clip up here. Let's see if I can find it. $32 million a year. Could give a flying crap about politics, is the article. A flying crap, as opposed to other kinds of crap. I watched this guy. He's an eco. In case you don't know what that is, you can go check out the site. That's overspace.org. Every week I tell you. Every week. And you'll learn the four domains one way or the other. Now, I have news about that later, but you have to stay tuned. I'm trying to get this Glenn Beck thing up here. Unbelievable. Could give a flying crap. He made $32 million last year. $32 million. Let's see. Here's the video. Oh, God. Well, I think I got on the air at 9:03, and the Mets took a lead. It's now 1-1. Second and third for the Rockies. One out. Let's go, Mets. I haven't even discussed my Rangers yet. Let's see. Wow, there's a lot of Alex Jones on here. And I guess there's not really a video to play. Just sort of breaks down. Love him, hate him, or love to hate him. Fox News, Glenn Beck is a rich man. $32 million last year. His Fox News contract is the least lucrative of his many books and radio shows and merchandise. He's a regular empire, and he knows it. And here it is in the Forbes article. I could give a flying crap about the political process, not politics. We're an entertainment company. Here's the math. $12 million from book sales, typically reserved for authors like Stephen King. $50 million from a contract with Premier Radio Networks, that netted $10 million last year. It's the third most listened to show in America. His radio show is pretty popular. $4 million from his website, bringing in revenue from ads, insider paid subscription services, $54.95 per year. You guys won't buy a lousy Sabbatic Companion from me. And retail merchandise sales, $3 million in speaking fees. $3 million in speaking fees, including his Bold Fresh tour with Bill O'Reilly, another knucklehead. $2 million from his lousy Fox News contract, which is basically cab fare for this guy, and $1 million from his Fusion magazine, $32 million. Wow. That is absolutely, I see it, and I don't believe it. Let's see what Alex Jones has. I'm going to just play this blind. Alex Jones is a radical guy. I love him. I haven't got to meet this guy yet, but I definitely want him. He's a true believer. And let's see what he's doing with Glenn Beck here. See if he's on one side of the fence here. From April 12th.
So I'm going to tell Glenn Beck right now, face to face, and I know his people are probably listening live right now. To certainly watch this.
And I got to stop this because Sam Kinison's been dead over 20-something years now. Okay? This guy sounds like Sam Kinison. I'm sorry. I can't listen to Alex Jones, who's very serious, who does all of his homework, and yet he sounds like Sam.
Glenn Beck, come on, man. I've already put it down on the historical record that you're a traitor. And a lot of people will listen today, a lot won't. But down the road, just like every other issue, I'm right. I don't have to look in a crystal ball. I know who you are. From a distance, I've been monitoring and watching and trying to figure out what you're doing since I first heard you on the radio 10 years ago in Austin, 9 years ago. I've been watching you, and I heard what you were 9 years ago. It was all entertainment, and I thought, well, this guy's a great radio host. This guy does a great World of Worlds reenactment. This guy's a little hokey, you know, a little Tinkerbellish, a little prissy, but I guess that's the crowd you run with. I mean, that's what runs America is a bunch of little prissy chicken necks, but... I mean, I didn't like you as a man. I don't think you're a man's man or anything. But I kind of got an icky feeling, but I admire your skill as the little thespian you are, prancing around on the stage like you like to do. You know, he doesn't want to do radio and TV. He loves to go into the theater and, you know, do all of this. And that's fine. I mean, who you are is who you are. But listen, we're not going to let you destroy the republic. We're not going to let you, like Benedict Arnold, lead us down a rat hole. And you better hope, like Benedict Arnold, you get to run to Europe or England, buddy. Because I may die tomorrow or get set up tomorrow or get sent to prison tomorrow by one of your goons. You know, if you put out the word that we want to kill the president, just out of the blue, totally made up. But in the end, you're going to fall. And when you're old and you're dying of cancer or whatever it is, I want you to remember that I told you that in the public court of opinion that we exposed you and I put a buoy on your butt. You know what a buoy is? They mark rocks. They mark danger. They mark treachery with a buoy. And I henceforth put a buoy on you, a marker. I mark you as a traitor, as Cain. I mark you as a slime ball who I look.
Put a Baba buoy on you.
Look in his eyes. The sick thing is you're enjoying lying to people. You enjoy like a snake all day talking about how you have trust with your audience. And you're like Grimer Wormwood from Lord of the Rings or something behind the king's throne whispering death into our bones. And again, you are not a general. You are not a patriot. You are somebody who's there to get our confidence to sell us out, but you can't let your contempt and your hatred for patriots stay under bridle. You reveal yourself. It's like Sean Hannity saying, arrest all members of the militia. He just said, arrest anyone in the militia. Arrest them. You know, put microchips in all children. Those are actual video clips. I mean, you guys are a bunch of government operatives that hate conservatives and libertarians, and you just want to slit our throats. You want to get our confidence and slit our throats. I see you, boy. I see you.
What's the difference between that and pro wrestling?
Glenn Beck.
Gonna talk, you already told Glenn Beck. Relax. See if anyone's joining me here in the air. Of course not. Ugh. This is one of those nights, man. So there you go. So there's Alex Jones, who's operating at, you know, a couple of ticks below the $32 million man. And he, like I said, he is treated as an outsider from the insiders. And so it doesn't matter what right or left, what side of the aisle you're on, what ideology you're espousing. It is completely about who draws a crowd. Sarah Palin, I'm telling you, between her and Glenn Beck, you couldn't get, oh, Reyes just got thrown out by a step by Tula Whiskey in one of those Jeter plays. I'm nauseous. You couldn't get the two of them, you know, to put together a Christmas tree. I mean, they're not. We're not talking about, you know, intelligence in terms of intellect. We're talking about it in terms of emotional intelligence and being able to bond with an audience and being able to get a message out. It's amazing how they've remained popular. You heard Alex there. He's a little gruff, you know. And he's got the old pro wrestler thing going on. But for the most part, it works to be this sort of character. I mean, Glenn Beck flat out says he is in the entertainment business. But he comes across as a leader of a movement. Same as Sarah Palin, who goes off on the media at every chance she gets. And now she's part of the media. And she's still attacking it. And that's why when you see a parody like Tina Fey, it's hard to separate the two. There's not much difference between what Tina Fey was doing Saturday night and what she did and what the real Sarah Palin did in Boston today. Give the people what they want. So there's Glenn, $32 million, Forbes magazine. You know, I don't give a flying crap about the political process. Okay, he says it. That's great. And then Sarah says, get the government out of my hair. Meanwhile, she does nothing but stick her nose into the government. It's amazing. Then you got the case of Oprah, who got herself a little TMZ'd over the weekend. Seems our fair, fatal little friend had an affair with John Tesh. I can't get over this. This is like almost tawdry for me. Let's see. Well, I can't do this. Yes, I dated Oprah. Okay. John Tesh, that he used to date. Because there's an unauthorized autobiography by Kitty Kelly out there now. Again, we cannot get enough gossip in this country. We can't. That's what's so weird. That's what draws a crowd. Truth doesn't draw a crowd. Stories do. So John Tesh said he and Oprah's today. Oprah and I were cub reporters in Nashville nearly 40 years ago. And we dated for a short time. We even talked about doing one of my appearances on her show. We remain friends to this day. In the book, Oprah, A Biography, which hits stores Tuesday, Kitty Kelly wrote that the pair lived together in the 70s, claimed the relationship ended when Tesh couldn't handle the social pressure of being in interracial relationships. The actor-turned-musician did not offer an explanation. Winfrey's rep declined to comment. There you go. So every aspect, I mean, you just take three or four of those things together and you put them up there and you say to yourself, well, why does that get attention? Oprah, of course, she draws a crowd. John Tesh, not so much. White, black? Oh, yes. Secrets? Oh, yes. Unauthorized autobiography? Oh, yes. Because it's gossip. That's why. It's not that it's news. It's not that it's facts, like, you know, important stuff to know. And I watched this thing this afternoon about the financial crisis. I'm into this Dylan Radigan guy. And he did something today that was actually posted on another guy, a popular guy. What's his name? Michael Moore had it on his site. Let's see if I can spelunk this out as I move around here. Oh, hola. You're late. Here you go. All right, getting the room clean tonight. Let's see what else we got. I can't find it now. It's aggravating. Thanks. By the way, the Mets are up 2-1. Anyone keeping score? I'm going to check in on those nasty Devils and Flyers in a little bit because nobody's calling. Jeez, where the heck did it go? See, this is where like you should have everything like you know organized like like you do in a real show. But they're paying me nothing, so. Oh, here we go. That's not it. Nope, that's not it. That's not it. I don't believe this. No. 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 Oh, there it is. MSNBC. Pop. All right. Anyway, Dylan Radigan had these puppet people come in to talk about the financial crisis. Again, dumbing it down to the least common denominator, but it made sense, and it's catchy. It is a catchy little video. John Stewart, of course, opined on it, too. So here we go. Absolutely hilarious stuff.
One in five of the taxpayer
patients,
by the way, lost their health insurance in the past year alone. See, okay, now that's a startling fact.
Now we're getting somewhere. That's interesting. Please continue along that vein.
Lost their health insurance in the past year alone. But back to our puppets.
No, not back to the puppets!
Yes, John Stewart, the puppets are back and bigger than ever. This time, they even sing songs. It's a group known as the Story Pirates, and they create puppet magic out of stories that you want told. And in my case, it was the story of the financial regulatory system and how Wall Street was able to change laws in the late 90s to allow unlimited gambling with your taxpayer money. And joining us now is Drew Collender and his three puppet friends from the Story Pirates. They are a creative group who takes your story and, of course, turns it into musical puppet magic. We are benefited to that service. Nice to see you, Drew.
Nice to see you,
you guys
Dylan.
Seem a little irritated.
Yeah, well, first of all, a couple corrections I have to make. First of all, it's Drew Calendar.
Sorry.
That's okay. And secondly, I appreciate the Story Pirates plugs, but you've been calling them puppets. And
yeah, we're not puppets. We're pirates. Yes, I prefer epidemically challenged.
Yeah, you know, isn't a puppet something who is controlled by an entity larger than itself?
That's exactly right. Something controlled by an entity larger than itself, like a politician.
Oh, really? Ooh. Consider me corrected. Oh, that was a low blow.
Completely improvised.
What's a story pirate?
A story pirate, we are a group of actors and teachers and Vikings and pirates and birds and all kinds of creatures that go into schools. We visit over 100 schools every year. We take stories written by kids and we adapt them into songs, sketches,
theater,
and sometimes even music videos.
And sometimes we
appear on cable news.
And if a cable anchor man wants to tell a complicated story,
mm-hmm.
That's right. We will take your complex ideas and distill them into their essence and present them in a way that everyone can understand.
So with no further ado, the Story Pirates take on the financial crisis.
To continue our lesson on great American innovators and investors, today we have a very special guest to tell us how he became so successful. Please welcome Mr. Edward Zachariah Money.
Easy Money for short. Hey, kids. How many of you would like to be filthy, stinking rich? Great! I can make money without having to work hard, invest wisely, or have any talents whatsoever. Kids, if you want something, you have to take it.
You mean stealing?
Now you're catching on! You see, kids, getting rich nowadays can be real easy. All you gotta do is take my advice.
See if I can skip for the song here. Let me tell you about a choice that you can make. It's freaking hilarious. There's a right way and a wrong way. You can give or you can take. You can wake up every morning and work hard all the time. Or you can do what I do and commit financial crime. All right, everybody, here we go.
Yeah. Let's change the law to make cheating okay. Then use other people's money in the markets every day. Don't worry about risk, you can spread it around. Sell imaginary money all over the town. When it all falls apart in the shit hits the fan, you can still pay yourself and send the bill to Uncle Sam.
The first thing you'll need to know how to do is change the law.
All right, this gets a little nuts.
Stealing against the law?
Here we go. Change every
day. And some of those laws are dumb anyway. What do you do with a law that you hate?
Sign my protest.
Don't you see?
Well, that's just silly. Come on, use your brains now. Who's got a law that ought to be changed?
What I want to do. All
right. I've had enough of this guy. Change the law. Enough of that. This is Christ. I'm losing my mind here. But again, popular, and it'll virally spread. Come on, change the law, and the other one, what the heck? Oh, man. Freaking funny. But that's the point, is that those are the things that stick in our brains. Our brains are very easily duped. So we make it simple, make it light, make it sort of fun, and the brain engages, and pretty soon the idea spreads. It doesn't have to be complicated. In fact, the more complicated it is, the harder it is to get the spread past one brain, let alone two. So there's a science behind all this, which is now we're at 9:30. Now we got to get serious because I am my own safe guest tonight. So let me just play my song here. Dun, dun, dun. I wanted to get past a little of this fodder here for a second because there is a science to all this advertising and pushing of the messages around your heads. It's called the Q score. And basically any brand, any company, any celebrity, every television show has a Q score. That's what all the media sapes do and the public relations to tell like what your value is. So it's a metric developed by Marketing Evaluations, which uses an annual survey of male panelists, not male, like male in the mail, to just basically get a quotient or a factor or a score that identifies the familiarity, not popularity, how familiar you are with an athlete, a celebrity, a news event, anything. Q rating, Q factor, or simply your Q, right? There's a lot of debate about, you know, the science behind it. But basically, it's been going on for, you know, almost 40 years now, almost 50 years now. It's influenced by a lot of things, apparently. And now in the age of social media, there's a lot more variables in there. And that's why Sarah Palin could quit the governorship in Alaska and get more popular, not less. So it goes from A, one of my favorites, to B, very good, C, good, D, fair, E, poor. And then there's F. What the heck is that? Anyway. You have choices A through F, F being poor. It's very strange. Oh, F has never heard of the person. Oh, okay. I'm reading it wrong. So you go from, okay, one of my favorites, very good, good, fair, poor, never heard of it, right? So, and it's the, you know, the classic biography of anybody's career is, you know, like if we're doing, so let's do a Filippi's career for a second. Who is Mark Filippi? That's the first stage of your career. And then if you can actually get past that, someone will say, get me Mark Filippi. And then you get really popular, then they want the knockoff. Get me someone like Mark Filippi because we can't get him. He's too busy. And then the fourth stage of your career, it's, is Mark Filippi still around? Like, no one knows, you know, you're in the background now. And then, of course, the fifth stage is, who is Mark Filippi? Then that fourth question is kind of goes either way. Either you're staying too long at the dance or they're still looking for you. But anyway, back to this Q thing. A lot of debate about how they get the numbers here. But for the most part, you know, you take someone like Michael Jackson, right? People are very familiar with him, but he's an oddity. So same thing with like someone like A-Rod or what happened with O.J. or A.I.G. or Bear Stearns or Madonna, Mike Tyson. Okay, it isn't about popularity. It's about being familiar. John McEnroe. That's why they'll put these people in a commercial. People are familiar with them. You put something familiar with something unfamiliar, like a new product, suddenly you're going to get eyeballs to track because, you know, they recognize the guy. They recognize the person. Jimmy Johnson is selling Extends, okay? He's an old man. He's an old football coach. And I had Dick selling the Levitra, whatever the heck it was a couple years ago. It gets goofy. You know, it really does. But back to this Q score thing. So if people have this thing, there's a Likert scale. Likert, love to hate, okay, which is a 7 to 9 point scale. Neutral in the middle, right? So never heard of is the choice at the beginning. All right, there's another way of doing these Q scores. And this is a way to determine avid, core, strong, lukewarm, and total fan bases, as well as negative perceptions. So when you're dealing with something like the Tea Party, which is a freaking mosaic of issues all over the map, there's no head on this fish. There's just a lot of fins and tails and eyes going every different direction. And that's why on one day they could be at one extreme talking about, you know, we want to get Harry Reid out, we want to put our candidate in, and we're very much a, you know, formal political, like the Reform Party was. The Reform Party wanted to reform things like, you know, term limits and they wanted to reform the tax code. They had a very serious, very, you know, kind of a stratified agenda. And they actually had, you know, Jesse Ventura was voted in as a reform candidate. The whole 92 election was busted up by it when we had an independent guy that led to it with Perot. So that the roots of this third-party stuff, it goes back a long time, but this Tea Party is not. It's a grassroots thing. It's not a political party. It's a bunch of people mad at everything. And we need that because we're in such transition. It's one of those kind of amalgam ideologies that just simply doesn't understand what's going down, and they don't know how to replace it. So all they do is show up and wave their arms, it seems. Now, underneath it, it's co-opted by the GOP. It's co-opted by the corporations. It's co-opted by Fox News. It's co-opted by Glenn Beck, like Alex Jones was just talking about. And nobody says boo. They don't even put a baba booey on it. They let it slide right down. Why? Because of this Q score. It just sells things. Because you put anything that's the Tea Party now, enough people are familiar with it, they don't have to understand it, they don't have to agree with it, they don't have to tolerate it. It's everywhere. It's like the it's like we talked about the Catholic Church. It's 41% of the news is the Catholic Church. You have to be a Catholic, be anti-Catholic, be even anything religious, and you'll hear Catholic news every single day because they put something. Everyone's familiar with the Church, and whether you have an opinion of for and against doesn't matter. You're going to hear it. Now, with all that said, with the pirate song and everything else, change the law. Who was the other one? I got to hear that song again. Where the heck did it go? The other one back here has a little more of a snappy to it. Let's see. Let's find it. There we go. That's it. That's it. The last thing I need to know is anything about that stupid song. All right, I got somebody calling in here. Uh-oh. Oh, it could it be? I think I see. Yes, it is. It's Professor Val. Surprise. Hello.
Hello.
Well, hey, I don't know what I did to deserve this, except that I'm just, you know.
I don't know.
Stop it. Oh, I'm exhausted from all these clips.
I know.
It's a clip kind of show because I'm trying to get a clip. What the frig lets people buy into so many badly formed, half-baked, cheesy ideas? Is it because the idea is dumber than them, and for 2 seconds they feel superior, so they can join the Tea Party and know, I'm not the dumbest ass in this room? What is it?
I wish I knew. I don't know. People are they're joiners. People are probably there trying to get laid. Who knows?
I think it's the philo element.
Yeah, of course it is. It always is because they're 67% of the population.
All the little ants are marching.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is just that when do they know when to leave? When do they know when to go from one side of the coin to the other? Because, like I just said, even in the conservative side, there's so many splits that Alex Jones wants to hang Glenn Beck by his nuts, and yet they're both supposedly espousing, you know, this anti-Obama message, but they all have little branches of it that don't agree. Same thing on the left. Same thing on the left, because the left is all, you know, we're going to make health care for everyone and everyone's going to have Medicare. And then 2 seconds later, they're talking about, you know, we're gonna get in bed with the drug companies and the insurance companies. It's crazy. Look at this, a three-run homer. Can the Mets suck more? Look at this.
Don't ask, because they might be able to suck more.
Yeah. Three-run homer. I mean, they have, you know what it is with the Mets? It's this. Every single time I think about it, it just comes down to this. What is that? I don't know what that is. Oh, this.
Diarrhea, constipation, gas, bloating. That's me.
There you go. That's all I got. Because it was anything with sports the last 2 years, really, it's been the same pattern. Always
mm-hmm.
a city in Philadelphia screw me over. Just like on Sunday with the Rangers. And again, same thing. You get hooked into these things, they emotionally hijack you, and then they leave you for dead. And that's exactly what happens with these people. Do you care that Oprah Winfrey was humping John Tesh in the 70s?
Ew. Why did you have to give me that visual?
Well, Kitty Kelly wrote a whole book about it. People are buying it like hotcakes.
Oh.
Yeah. He couldn't handle the whole interracial thing, so out he goes. And now Stedman, of course, is kicked to the curb because... She's about to take off the beard, that big-headed onto. And then I heard before, as I was spewing around, that, Tiger and Elon are getting the pals out. Let's see if I can find it here. Cleveland Post. Tiger. Woods. Because everyone watched on Sunday, you know, when the little Hallmark scene with Mickelson and his wife with cancer and his kids were there, and of course his mother has cancer, and you know, everyone paints that picture juxtaposed to Tiger. When meanwhile, you know, no one thinks Phil Mickelson is anyone of nature's nobleman. He's a big degenerate gambler, and he's been accused of infidelity as well.
Hmm. Who hasn't?
So, but compared to Tiger, I mean, really. I mean, I heard this morning on the FAN they had something Dupree. What the hell's her name? The Spitzer girl. Ashley Dupree. Right? She goes on this morning, and she's now on the cover of Playboy, right? So she's on promoting that. She's writing a sex column in the Post, all right? And she's gotten her life, basically. She's now popular and sought after. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, that was Spitzer with one hooker. Right? Tiger banged half the country. Now, she kept her mouth shut about the governor, but that didn't matter. Let's look at all. You know what it is about the Huffington Post? It's really become kind of like, you know, what can we get away with here? The allure nude issue. It's very.
Yep.
It's supposed to be highbrow, but it's like a Fox thing.
It's like the highbrow version of the Inquirer or something.
Yeah. But it's amazing how many stories break on this dopey thing. Now, let me see about Tiger. I wonder how many stories on Tiger Woods. I haven't checked TMZ yet. I still have time. But that's how do these things draw a crowd? I have no idea. I tried to ask for. Oh, Larry King files for divorce. Well, that's every 5 minutes. Tiger Woods divorce. Marriage is over. Finalizing Entertainment Tonight is reporting. I love this. The former SportsCenter anchor, Kevin Frazier, reports in a video, the marriage is over. Why do we care about this guy's resume?
Yeah.
The former SportsCenter anchor, Because, of course, that gives him, like, I guess, some credibility because Tiger's a golfer. Like, if the guy was pumping gas, it wouldn't have mattered. He got the story.
Right, and it has nothing to do with sports anyway.
Yeah, well, golf's such a, you know, I don't want to call it a sport. I don't know what it is. It's a spectacle. Let's see. She not only avoided the tournament, but went out of her way to be on the air, to be in the air, during its closing stages. Speaks volume of the current state of the relationship. Rumor that Tiger Woods' new Nike ad upset her. You heard that with his dad talking from beyond the grave, the Tiger ad,
mm-hmm.
which was actually a clip taken from a DVD talking about his mother, which had nothing to do with him. The recent report that her husband slept with their neighbor's young daughter didn't help matters. Could you imagine this aunt, though, when he gets home? Oofa.
Wow.
And one source saying the divorce is 100% on. Intense sex rehab has not had a reconsidering, but that is now by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
See what this guy says here. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Come on.
They could reconcile and save their marriage. It was believed by going to
the former sports editor
Tiger had done just enough to keep his family together. But sources have told me that the marriage is indeed over. Evidence? Well, the fact that Elin was on a plane in the air headed to Arizona during the final round of the Masters, usually with her husband in contention at his biggest tournament, she would be there waiting for him in case he won. Instead, she made a plan so that she would be in the air while Tiger was playing. Also, the couple hasn't spoken for quite some time, and it is believed that all they have to do is work out a few more details on their divorce, and then they can sign the divorce decree, and both can move on with their lives.
There you go, Kevin Frazier.
Unbelievable.
I mean, who covers relationships like? It's like a weather report. This just in, there's a cold front moving in from Arizona. Ooh, it looks like an Anto bitch with some papers. She's flying over the country during the tournament.
Wow.
Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, two of the world's most prominent atheists, are seeking means to try the Pope for crimes against humanity.
Uh-huh.
In our Christian news segment, the pair has been working with British lawyers to see if the Pope could be arrested for his part in the alleged cover-up of the widespread sexual abuse we've covered last month. The Catholic Church during a visit to the UK in September. The Vatican suggests that the Pope is immune to the prosecution. He's the head of state. Dawkins and Hitchens suggest that he is not immune, as the Vatican is not represented at the UN. I'm convinced we'd get the threshold of immunity. The Vatican is not recognized as a state in international law. People assume it's existed from time immemorial, but it was constructed around the time of Mussolini, when the Vatican first...
appropriate.
Yes. Have a fascist, will you? When the Vatican first applied, the trains ran out of time, goddammit. To become a member of the UN, the U.S. said no. A leering... Oh, look, this is what he called the Pope, Dawkins, in a scathing article in the Post. A leering old villain in a frock.
Wow.
Who spent decades conspiring behind closed doors for the position he now holds. A man who believes he's infallible and acts the part. A man whose preaching of scientific falsehood is responsible for the deaths of countless AIDS victims in Africa. A man whose first instinct when his priests are caught with their pants down is to cover up the scandal and demand young victims to silence. That's pretty harsh.
It is. and quite accurate, I might add.
Well, hey, I'm waiting for someone to say something wrong here. Hitchens says in the Sunday Times, the man is not above or outside the law. The institutionalized concealment of child rape is a crime under any law and demands not private ceremonies of repentance or church-funded payoffs, but justice and punishment. Ahoo! Huzzah! Wow. In a related story, Robert Zanza in the article, Why Do We Exist?
Oh, well, there you go. Here's an unrelated story. Did you know the South Park creators are headed for Broadway?
I can't wait.
Uh-huh.
South Park on Ice.
I saw the
other day what's his name, gets all the friends on Facebook, and he gets absorbed into the Facebook, into the computer.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Tremendous.
Yeah, they actually are doing a play about, I believe, Mormons or something. There was a movie that they did.
Mormons?
In, like, 88 called Orgasmo. And
I remember that.
Parker played a Mormon who became a porn star. So I don't know if it's got something to do with that, but they're calling the musical comedy The Book of Mormon.
Wow. Uh-huh. Well, that'll get some letters.
Uh-huh. Of course.
But check out this guy. This guy, I don't know if he wrote a book or not. Well, let's see if he actually had time to do this, but why in the world do we exist? What sustains us in above the void of nothingness? A series of experiments holds the answer. All right? Everyone was already at the hospital making morning rounds. It doesn't matter. What the heck is that? Ordinary day. Put the lab coat on. What the hell? What the hell? Secrets denied. According to biocentrism, time is the key. Physicists find that almost all models of reality, from Newton's laws to Einstein's field equations, have no need for time. Well, I definitely don't. Time is a biocentric fabrication. Listen to that. Tell the guy in the frock. To understand this, consider a movie of an archery tournament. If the projector stopped every single frame, you'd know the position of the arrow with great accuracy. It's just 20 feet from the grandstand. But if you lost all the information about its momentum, it's going nowhere. This is the fuzziness described by the uncertainty principle. Sounds like we're in a Bartlett lecture. Sharpness in one parameter causes blurriness in the other. Experiments that show such uncertainty is built into the fabric of reality. Time is an inner form of animal sense that animates events. It's the still frames of the spatial world. The mind animates the world like a motor of projector, weaving a spatial state into the current of life. It's happening to you right now. Your eyes can't see through the cranium. Everything you perceive is reconstructed inside your head. Wow.
It's pretty amazing.
I mean, that's... let's see if I have that here. I had it somewhere. Oh, there it is. Could be the defense of the tiger.
Have you ever transcended space and time?
Time, not space.
Apparently.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
So that's it, the Zeno effect, it's called. The Zeno effect is real. The problem lies not in the experiments, but our way of thinking. Biocentrism is the only humanly comprehensive way to explain it. Time is the glue that holds the world together. Without rules to relate one frame to the next, there could be no motion. Life couldn't exist. When asked if he believed in God, Einstein replied there must be something behind the energy. Einstein said that. Thought it was drunk, ego. Indeed, that something is in the mind. At the most irreducible level, space and time are defined by magnetic energy. The electric component generates a magnetic field leapfrogging through space via a mathematical relationship that infuses temporal information into the bottom of the world. This does nothing to pay my rent. But this isn't, you understand, an illusion. Spinoza's genius sensed this back in the 17th century. To be conscious of space and time is to transcend space and time. Wow! The mind transcends space and time in the sense that they are for it, it's not in them. This is why, in real experiments with entangled particles, it appears that things are instantaneously connected. Behind the physical world, that there's no space or time between them. It's also why, in other experiments, particles seem to spring into existence. The critics charged, old news.
Quantum.
It is quantum. There's a book, but it's called Biocentrism, is it? I am at Stony Shore, and the breeze passes over your. In the hollow of my hand are its waters and its sand. That's Thoreau, Walden Pond.
Mm-hmm.
I'm funkified out just by that. That's more than the tiger thing. Wow. Back to the pirate song. So you're going to march on Washington on Monday for the big Second Amendment march with the guns? You a gun
no.
component?
No. I'll just sit here and clean my gun.
I figured that would be up your alley.
No, not marching.
It's going to be a big deal.
I'd have to march with humans. I don't like them.
Now, where do you stand on the whole Tea Party movement? Do you understand why they're
mostly.
Why they're doing what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them before. My parents actually went to one a while back.
They're doing it over here in White Plains, here in New York.
They're doing them everywhere. It's here at our courthouse in Putnam. And you see signs all over the place. When I'm driving to work, I'll see the Westchester one, which is at the county center. Yeah, I don't know. I guess people think if they get together in a big pile that something's going to change. I'll just sit here and watch South Park or something because it'll do as much good.
Well, it's getting me worried because where there's usually that type of frivolity, there's liquor. And then, yeah. liquor and guns. I don't know.
Who knows?
Protesters choose Oklahoma City bombing anniversary for armed marches on D.C.
Okay.
Because it's Monday's the 15th anniversary of Oklahoma City.
Ugh, what a mess.
And Monday they're doing the tapes there with Rachel Maddow having the big.
Oh, is she?
Timothy McVeigh tapes. Yeah.
I haven't seen her in a while.
Well, she's been ducking the press because she was on Jon Stewart last night, but there's a big deal with this. So April 19th is Patriots Day, which is also the shot heard around the world. You know. So they're going to be marching. They're basically. Because it's the anniversary of Waco, Timothy McVeigh, and Shot Heard Around the World.
Well, that was not a coincidence.
Coincidence? I think not.
No.
So let's see. There's a certain disconnect between what these organizers describe as their peaceful motives and the tactics they use to try to attract their audience. It's true.
Brother.
We're all for peace! And we're marching with our magic guns!
Yeah.
Something about that's a mixed message. We're very peaceful.
That's right.
Well,
I guess they're not shooting anybody, so I guess they are kind of peaceful.
Well, yeah. They're just showing up saying that we have them. See, the big fear is that the government's going to take them away because they just passed laws, change the law, and you can't carry your gun anywhere.
Do you know what I had to go through to get a gun permit in
New
York?
That's what I'm saying.
Illegal
guns are always easy to get. It's the legal ones that are hard to get.
Yeah, mugshots, fingerprints, background check. It took me months to get my gun. And I'm not allowed to bring it anywhere unless I'm going to hunting or to the range. That's it. That's it. Done. Nothing else. Walmart will sell guns in Florida, but they won't sell CDs that say fuck.
But, I mean, I know you have the gun and all, but what, I mean, if you're not going to go to the range every 5 minutes, what good is it for?
Well, where I live now, it's not a bad idea, actually, to have
up
it.
Up there in Spiegeltown? Up there.
Yeah, I mean, Rick was walking, and he ran into a mountain lion, a cougar.
Uh-huh. Oh, to shoot animals with, okay.
I mean, to protect yourself if you have to. We've got shotguns and stuff near the doors. You never know what's going to be in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we got the dog running around out there. But that's not the reason I got the gun. I just got it because I like to go to the range. Well, I used to go all the time and shoot at targets. It was fun. I'm doing the same thing now with a bowling ball, really.
I was going to say, what's the difference?
I think shooting the gun was cheaper than bowling.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find the whole thing kind of, I mean, I wasn't raised around guns. Don't know much about them. You know.
They're fun.
I'll hunt for a parking space. You know, I'll hunt for good seats in a movie theater. But, you know, I ain't hunting rabbits. It's never something, the karma has not made me do that. It's made me do something about everything else. But it has not made me, you know, tote a gun and go sit in the room and with a little duck thing and. I watch those shows sometimes at ESPN where they're hunting like a mountain lion or something like that.
Do you?
I just wait. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. My eyes are always open. So I flip around and see this crap. And I wonder what the mountain lion's thinking. You know, he's like, you know, you stupid humans. You got the whole planet to run around. I got this little patch of the jungle. Hey, they can only bust my balls.
Mm-hmm.
With your little gazoos. Meep, meep. I mean, I just love it once that the lion just bit the guy's head off. Get out of my goddamn jungle, you stupid asses. That's what I wish you do. Yeah, you know, because it's always one-sided. Give the animals some guns.
You filthy criminals.
When you have a party.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of bears with some rifles, some grenades.
That would be a little bit of a payback.
Put that on one of those premium channels, make it pay-per-view. We've stuck a couple of these Elmers out here in the wilderness, and we've strapped some dynamite to these bears. And look, the mayhem ensues. All anyone cares, like I said before, it's you're familiar with something. It doesn't matter if it's popular or if it's something people like. It's just that you could put anything next to something people are familiar with and put something new next to it and sell something. That's the only reason why the networks care about the Tea Party. Sarah Palin, the only reason she cares about it. It's a crowd of people. They get familiar with the word Tea Party. It means tax. What's it called? Tax something. Tax enough already. TEA. But there's no formal, you know, thing to it. It's just a bunch of people with the signs. And I heard on Limbo today, it was Limbo, that at the demonstrations against the governor of Virginia, who's declared this month, you know, the Confederacy Celebration Month, tremendous. Nice move, guy. Very, very progressive. And, of course, didn't mention slavery in any of his things. So anyone that goes down to protest, they can't have a flag that has a flagpole more than a foot long because it could be used as a weapon. So now we're down to the Middle Ages where they're going to storm the castle with their flags. I don't understand any. I don't understand how anything in this society works for more than 5 minutes. Our attention span is like a rhesus monkey. John Tesh just climbed out of bed with Oprah, right?
I'm eating a strawberry.
I got singing pirates on Dylan Radigan. It's mass hysteria. It bugs me. So I turned to all my guests this week for help, and of course they abandoned me.
Of course.
Because my Q rating sucks. That's why. Let's see if I can find the Joy Sox guy here. He's got a little...
I remember him.
Yeah, Rick Luskowitz, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a CEU class this weekend somewhere. I told him I'd give him a bump.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm a good safe. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Over here on the airwaves talking to you and about nobody else. Oh, what is that?
What is that? I'm still dealing with emails from my students that make me absolutely want to quit teaching ever.
Hey, when are you going to quit that job? I mean, it doesn't sound like it's working out.
Oh. I don't like teaching online, and I don't like...
I love teaching online. The couple times I came into that chat room was the best.
That's because we had the good students then. Now I've got students that are killing me.
Well, they just seem to just don't want to do anything.
No, they don't get it. These are students that are part of another university that are taking classes through ours, and apparently they are told... what to wear, where to go, what to think, what to believe, where to shit. They can't think on their own, and I'm having a really hard time with them, and I want to stab them.
Mm-hmm. And what class is this for?
I don't want to say too much, but it's an education class. So they'll be teaching our kids, but they can't think on their own.
Well, it's a fair fight then.
I tell you, I just want to scream.
The Mets just stupidly played themselves into a... let's see if I can get the replay here.
The base running. Going to second on the overthrow. You've got to look over your shoulder as you make that turn, Gary, and you see that they're holding up that runner, and the throw's online. You've got to hold. Now, they got away with it. So two boo-boos on that play. And the Rockies...
4-2. 5-3 Rockies. Fourth inning. Basically, it was a single to right field. The runner for the Rockies didn't look and went to second. And all the Met guy had to do was throw to second, and he'd be out. He's safe at second. Of course, the guy that was on second ran to third and scored. Tremendous. This is my life.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if I can find a clip from his movie here. He's got to have a clip on here, doesn't he? Got to have a clip for me, Rick. How do I do this? The JoyousSoxMovie.com is the name of the thing. Looking for just something on here. Talks about crowd energy. It's great stuff, but, you know, about how the coherence of the crowd influences the outcome. Unbelievable stuff, really. Landmark stuff, even.
Well, that's why I hate my class, because I've got a group of, I can't stand them.
Well, when you're surrounded by adults, yeah. Trust me. I get it one at a time over here at Meatloaf Land. Let's see. Science behind spirituality. A lot of stuff. Oh, nice catch in the corner. Yeah, this is anyway. He's got a. I'll go over to Facebook and find it. He's got a thing this weekend. Let's see if I can read it for you quick. Ooh, there you go.
Wow.
Don't need the cash in the air. That was like a snorf.
Mhm. Well, it was better than a short, so I'm grateful.
You know what? We're all grateful. There you go. Rick Leskowitz is giving a talk Saturday morning, April 17th, in West Roxbury. Pre-registration is highly recommended. It's $20, $40 if you want the continuing ed, two-hour talk. And there you go. You can go check it out on his site. I can give you the numbre to get a hold of him somewhere down here. Where is it now? Not that. All right, let's see. Contact us. Yeah. So, yeah, you can, there's not even a phone number here. info@thejoyofsoxmovie.com. You can get a hold of Rick or check him out on Facebook at The Joy of Sox Movie. And he'll be talking about all kinds of fancy things with this energy stuff he's done. He's really, he's got, like I said, he's got something that should be more popular. I don't understand why. Because he's, it's got it on the continuing ed, though. Says, some of the most powerful experiences human beings come in group settings. Often the impact is so palpable we believe there's special energy. This workshop will explore the history of group energies from animal magnetism of Mesmer to the excitement of Red Sox fans.
Mesmer.
Mesmer. Sound like Homer. New research of the study of human energies will be presented along with experiential exercises to show the invisible energy is quite real and measurable. And maybe the key to enhanced human performance. We'll look at computer measurements of Fenway Park and the research lab that can explain such intangibles as team chemistry, fan prayers, and crowd electricity. You'll learn how to use these energies in your own life and whether to become a more effective baseball fan or to manifest life events of your desire. And you don't have to read the Biocentrism book. You just go to hang out with him. So that's in West Roxbury this Saturday at 9:30 a.m. And so there's a little commercial for Rick. And I got two more to get to here before we get out of here. My buddy over here at boldapproach.com. I wanted to get him on because, you know, Dave Lacani, because he was raised in a cult. And
really?
Yeah. And then he left. And he became a guy that infiltrated a bunch of other cults. And then he became a marketer. See? How about that?
Wow. That's pretty freaking telling, isn't it?
That's a full life right there.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get him on to talk about the cultish, like, you know, stuff that that the Tea Party is demonstrating. And so he's got a lot of his books, Subliminal Persuasion, for example, Influence in Marketing, Secrets That They Don't Want You to Know. His last book was How to Sell When Nobody's Buying. Check it out. So you can go look at Dave's work at boldapproach.com. Great stuff, very direct. It's funny because he's an eco that thinks he's an onto. It's kind of like a chicken that thinks he's an eagle. So
mm-hmm.
he comes across very pushy, kind of like that Sam Kinison guy. But there's a certain wonkishness the way he gets about it. So it's kind of funny. So that was my other non-guest, and of course the caboose on the train. Is the trend hunter, Jeremy Gutschke, Barnicky, he owes me money. And, you know, he was going to help me out with this trend hunter stuff, with the Q rating stuff, to understand why advertisers will take one person, like, who books guests on shows and what makes things popular is, oh, my God, they just threw out Castillo by a freaking eyelash. Unbelievable. And you know, being that we're getting into, you know, next month is sweeps and TV and the summer movies coming out. Just want to see how these things get framed up because he understands the whole, like, the marketing science behind all these focus groups and whatnot. So I wanted to see what from a Canadian's eye, what he thought of the whole Tea Party movement and this gun march and all the grassroots things that are going on down here. In the scrambled eggs that is the United States, and see what he.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll have one next month talking TV.
And Tea Party's been going on a long time.
Yeah, and I wanted to touch on the Conan thing because I thought that was unbelievable that he went to TBS and moved Lopez to Midnight out of nowhere. So
Didn't
now
he,
he's competing.
Wasn't
again.
That amazing?
He went from, you know, I'm going to go on mainstream TV on Fox, but they had so many problems with their affiliates and their reruns of Seinfeld and stuff that they couldn't promise him a time slot. And TBS is now building an audience at night that's going to compete with the, you know, the Jon Stewarts of the world and Chelsea Handlers of the world, and so cable is becoming the place for late night comedy, not so much the main network. So I thought that was really, I mean, they're going to pay him some bucks, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
$50 million or something, whatever it was.
Yep.
But,
okay.
You know, and the thing is that they could sit there during the World Series and they could bombard you with Kona commercials. And I never knew what Coco was until a couple of days ago. You know, the whole Coco thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never knew anything about it. David Wright strikes out. The Mets are really good. They're becoming like a nightly version of Root Canal to watch this team as they drift into the ethers here. 2-5 to start the year. And they were winning this game 3-1 too. So I think we've covered it all. We got Sarah Palin, we got Tiger, we got Oprah, and John Tesh, you're lovely. Glenn Beck.
Come on.
Glenn Beck, Tina Fey, Pirate Songs. What else do you want? Oh, my crap.
Fun filled.
Well. Jim?
All hail the American Knight.
Thank you. All right, anything coming up on the pagan front we should know about in May?
Well, May 1st, of course, is May Day.
Mm-hmm. And I heard something weird about Rudolph before.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, from the Oh My God facts. That Rudolph was actually from a department store. It was a promotion in the department store.
Oh, yeah, I think I heard that, actually. Now that you're saying that, that's ringing some old bells.
Let me ferret that out.
Yes, you ferret. Yes, May Day is Beltane. That is coming up, and that is also my anniversary.
Oh, really? May 1st?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Not an accident. It's a
really?
It's a very, very powerful day for marriage and screwing.
What's it supposed to mean? I know the maypole thing. We're on the maypole. It's like, isn't it like ashes, you all fall down, that kind of thing?
No. Not exactly. Well, yes, but the maypole is a penis.
The maypole is a penis. Always the pagans with the penis.
Well, yeah. You say that like it's a bad thing.
They're amazing.
It's fertility.
So the maypole
everything...
is a penis. Now, it can't be more than a foot long, or you can't bring it to the rally in Virginia.
Well, I don't know that.
Despite what you do on your karaoke nights. That poor bastard.
God. Yes.
So the pagan, so the pole's a penis, obviously.
Yep.
And you run around the penis.
Yep, dancing around the penis.
That's the whole holiday? May is May 1st,
no, there's
penis
there's
day?
Bonfires.
And then they burn the penis?
Beltane fire? No, it's separate.
Oh.
There's all kinds of stuff that goes on. It's really cool. I could tell you about one of the rituals that we did one time when we get closer to the date.
Fascinating. Yeah, we're going to be on Cinco de Mayo. Maybe we'll have you on as a retrospective to counterbalance.
Sure, why not?
Because I'm fascinated with the pagan legacy because all these holidays are running on underneath. But here's the Rudolph story real quick.
Okay.
Department store in Montgomery Ward. Right?
That
Commission
was
brought,
it.
Yeah. This is 1939, right? Wrote the story of Rudolph so they could sell a line of coloring books. All right? So freaking horrible. Wrote Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the song 10 years later. Despite being Jewish, Marx wrote many well-known Christmas songs, including Holly Jolly Christmas and Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Interesting.
Both the character Rudolph and the accompanying song are staples for Christmas season. Both are trademarked to this day. The use of Rudolph without permission of classic media is against the law and could result in a lawsuit. See?
Wow.
There you go. That just makes it all kind of come full circle.
You know, I was watching one of my insane cartoons, and I'm not even sure which one it was. I think it must have been Family Guy, and they had an episode with Rudolph sitting on the doctor's table, the allopath's table. And the doctor said something about having to talk about his red nose. And Rudolph would come out with things like, oh, the pixie nose, the happy nose. And he'd be like, no, you have a tumor.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know.
Oh,
leave it to an allopath to ruin a good time for the old Rudolph, you know?
And in a couple of years, they'll put him on a death panel, and that'll be off with his head.
Yes, indeed.
We're going to look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, thanks for bailing me out here, for me rambling on for the half an hour. I think I could have set the world's record on BTR for playing the most clips in a one-hour show.
You know, when you're talking to yourself, what are you going to do?
I'm going to play clips. And
there you go.
Eat my cashews before I spill them on the ground.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. It's your protein.
But I think we did solve the puzzle of why things draw a crowd is because they make people feel smarter. And they don't.
And powerful.
And you can maintain your anonymity. And anytime you decide that the crowd is no longer something you want to be part of, you can do an Alex Jones and go all ballistic on them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's amazing. You can slip in and slip out of the crowd without ever having to be obligated to do anything in the crowd.
Yeah. And when you're there, you're feeling all empowered because there's so many of you.
Well, yeah. All the Philos in Whoville singing, yeah.
Oh, that's what it is.
While Glenn Beck's cashing his $32 million.
Right.
And telling you he doesn't give a flying crap about politics.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in tomorrow. Faith, Hope, and Charity. The guy, he can't be more phony, but it's so over the top. It's like O'Reilly. We'll do it live. You know, it's like you can't take it seriously.
Oh, that was one of my favorite clips.
Oh, it was classic. I mean, there's nothing better than O'Reilly mad. I should find that. We had that once on here.
He's always mad. He's got to be.
He can't stand Beck. He just can't stand him. He just wants to fight him. It's very funny to watch.
We'll get them some boxing gloves.
Oh, maybe that'll be the next thing. We'll get that. We'll get them to fight, and then they can arrest the Pope right after.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
What that guy call him? Something in a smock.
Oh God, that was. Take all the gold out of there, sell it, and feed the world. But why would they do that?
Take the gold out. Oh man. Get your balls out. Oh, well, happy Patriots Day on Monday. Say hi and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy! All right, someone has to go to sleep, and it ain't me.
Yeah, I think it'll be me.
Well, we'll only find out if you go.
Indeed.
All right,
have a lovely.
Oh yeah.
Bye.
Right on. All right, there you go. Our pagan pal, Professor Val, bailing me out of an otherwise boring show. Wow, I got to get that quote again from. I got two things I got to do. I got to play that clip again with this guy here. This is classic. Let's see if I get that sound back.
All you got to do is take my advice.
Here we go. This will sum up my entire week right here.
Let me tell you about a choice that you can make. There's a right way and a wrong. Cry every morning and work hard all the time. Or you can do what I do and commit financial crime.
All right, everybody.
Yeah.
You know the words by now.
Just change the law to make cheating okay. Then use other people's money in the markets every day. Don't worry about risk. You can spread it around. Sell them just marry money all over the town. When it all falls apart and cheat in the bank, you can still pay yourself and send the bill to Uncle Sam.
There you go. Now let's see if I can find the... Huffington Post. Yeah, here we go, arresting the Pope. I just want to see what they call them to sum up my night here, talking about what draws a crowd. Let's see. All right. Well, base hit to left. You know, these Mets, man, they come home with one game won this week. It'll be amazing. Can't pitch at all. The quote was, Dawkins called the Pope a leering old villain in a frock. Just think of that.
You filthy criminal.
That's right. So I guess that sums it up here on a Wednesday night. Exo week is over. We had two Exo weeks in a row. Check out what we got over there at somerspace.org. And definitely, in the next couple of days, I'd like you to... join me over on Facebook as I've launched Domania. Yes, Domania. It's a fan page on my Facebook page. We'll link it through on somerspace.org. And the other thing is my woo letter has now become part of the wind. So I'm going to put a vital interest over there on another fan page to bring the woo to you, all kinds of fancy articles about why we exist and things like that. So you can join both of those on the Facebook side through my somerspace.org site, and I soon will be available for profiling parties and all kinds of fun things as you watch Domania emerge. So you can start learning how to use this somatic stuff in your daily life and make things more interesting out there. All right, so let's see if I can get a little Van Morrison here to take me out. Ah, there he is. I'd like to thank my guests with this little number. I don't know what's happening next week. We're supposed to have a dude on from New Zealand, a chiropractor, Keith Hammond. Pre-recorded interview, because he's a kangaroo. He's about 18 hours ahead of us, so we'll see what happens with that. Talking about how healthcare is working around the world. What's getting you better, what's getting you bitter. So for everybody who listened, everybody who accidentally stopped by, everyone who was supposed to be a guest tonight, thanks for joining us here on Summer Time. I'm Dr. Mark. And you guys travel light through the darkness. Be yourself and be well.
It's a world I don't know. Got nowhere to go. Feels like I'm stranded. And I'm stranded between hello, devil, and the deep blue sea. Tell me what time it is.
Spiral on, Sapien.